الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. Yesterday we discussed about thoughts which come to a person and various types of thoughts. One was that a person fantasizes, thinks of the opposite sex, etc. The other is evil thoughts with regard to matters of deen, with Allah Ta'ala, etc. The other, looking down upon somebody, thinking bad about somebody, and also thinking I am good. That also, those are also terrible thoughts. One more that we had left out, and that was that we think for other people, that I'm making namaz or anything, and that somebody's seeing me and he's thinking I'm pious. So, and that what you call it, so must I carry on my namaz or not? So this also happens very commonly, that we think for other people. Our brain is given and our thoughts are given to think for ourselves, but we think of other people, and we think so much about other people, and reality and fact is with us, it's not with other people. A nice example of this is given. A fly was sitting on the horn of a bull. A fly, a small insect, and after a while it thought, I'm sitting here without permission. So it asked the bull forgiveness, maafi. I sat on your horn without any permission. The bull said, I hardly knew you were sitting here. So like that, we thinking people are thinking this about me, thinking that about me. And those people, they are so busy in all their own affairs. Everyone today is so busy. And this applies a lot to the jadu also. That this one is making jadu, that one. Where people got time? They hardly got any idea. Sometimes we get phone calls, etc., and the people want to clear their name, that whatever had happened, something in the community, in the family or something, that we didn't say this, we didn't say that, and they have the impression the whole world is talking about it. And when they phone me, I have to tell them this is the first time I'm hearing about it. And they get surprised that they think that the whole world. So this is, we think that everyone is worried about us. And everyone is talking about. People got their own things. They haven't got time to finish their own things. And where they got time for us. Of course, there are some people, gossip people. They are in that. But generally, we don't have to think for other people. And in fact, Hazrat, our Shaykh, the Rahmatullah Ali has written, like for example, a person makes Ishraq Namaz every day in the masjid. By then all the people are gone also. One day it so happened that there is still somebody. Now if he does not make his Ishraq on that day, with this in his mind, that that person will see me making Ishraq and he'll think I'm pious, thinking for the other person. So he doesn't make his Ishraq. He's not making Ishraq is Riyah and Shom. One is that you make an ibadah, but you are doing it for show. This you are not making the ishraq. That is also riyah. You didn't leave out your ishraq for Allah's sake. For example, your wuzu break, you haven't got courage, himmat to go and make another wuzu, so you didn't make your ishraq. You can't make namaz without wuzu, so you left it out for Allah's sake. But this you left it out because somebody else, that what impression he'll get, what he'll think about me. So this is also riyah. So we shouldn't think about what other people think about us, what they say about us, and that won't harm us also. Many people also, other people praise you, and they say, oh, don't, stop immediately, all my sawab will be destroyed. By another person's actions, your sawab cannot be destroyed. By when you think, yes, if he tells you, praises you, and now it goes to your head, and you think, really, I am somebody big, now you will be harming yourself. But otherwise, it won't harm you. What other people say, they criticize you, they speak bad about you. When Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali, on one occasion, asked Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmed Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, that what is your condition? Amongst three things that he said, one was that if people criticize me or praise me, it makes no difference to me. Hazratji Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali say, a person becomes a Hazratji, a Buzurg, a pious person, everyone must endeavor. This is not exclusive for few people, for few elite people. The whole ummah must become pious and righteous. So he said that a person is not a Hazratji by what the people say. You are Hazratji what you are yourself. If the whole world praises you but you haven't got anything in you, it means nothing whatsoever. Like in governmental positions, politicians, people in top positions, how they are praised. But if you go and see their life, many are drug addicts, many people are humanizers, they gamble. So that doesn't, by the people saying, and they are paid, and they want some benefit, that's why they are praising. So that has got no value. What you are yourself, that is what is important. So we shouldn't think for other people, and we shouldn't think, on the other side, it shouldn't happen that you don't care whatever people say, and you commit any guna. إِذَا فَاتَكَ الْحَيَا فَفْعَلْ مَا شِئْتَ. That if you haven't got sharam haya, then you will do the worst things and you won't care anything about it. So to that extent we must be concerned, but that the people rule us with their thoughts and not their thoughts, the thoughts we making in our mind for them, and with that we letting them rule over us. Just all a thought world, just thoughts, and thoughts are nothing. And now you are, how many people go into depressions just because of this thoughts? How many people go into, they become despondent just because of, so a Muslim, al-mu'minul qawi, khayrun min al-mu'minil da'if. A Muslim must be strong. A Muslim must be positive. So much so, many people who suffer from wasawis also, bad thoughts they get. Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali Jazahumullah Khair, he said, even if a person dreams that I'm in Jahannam and I'm burning, he mustn't pay attention to that dream. It's just a dream. So many people, the thought of mort comes to a person. Now that person is finished. He doesn't want to do anything. Mort will only come on its time. It can't come before its time. So just the thoughts like this, thoughts about when we hear, also this is a very important thing. Where some people, there are two extremes in this also. We hear basharats. A person who says, La ilaha illallah, man qala la ilaha illallah, dakhala al-jannah. So he's not worried of anything. I've said La ilaha illallah, so I'm going to Jannah. Whereas there is a lot of explanation. Nabi, in another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained it, that La ilaha illallah, miftahul Jannah, is the key of Jannah. And then he said, a key has got teeth on it. And if the teeth are right, you can't just use any key on any lock. If the teeth are right, then it will open there. So your amal must also be right. So all this, so many people just run away with this year. We hear the sawab of making charity or giving charity. And some people who are rich, they build the masjid, but they don't make namaz. We're getting the sawab of all who are making namaz in the masjid. So we mustn't run away with such ideas also. On the other side again, sometimes we hear some warnings also of amal. And then many people also, women folk especially, become very despondent. They become very frustrated and they just give up hope, everything. Or you hear bayan on namaz, that how you must make your namaz, etc. And my namaz is so terrible, I'm going to Jahannam. Not one of my namaz is accepted. No. And for this, Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali gave a very wonderful remedy. He says that al-imanu bain al-khawfi wal-raja. Iman lies between the fear of Allah and hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. And Maulana Abdul Hanif Fulpuri Rahmatullah Ali explained so beautifully that he said the fear of Allah Ta'ala, which comes in the hadith, that is kufr. To lose hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala is kufr. So he said, this is like a person who's standing with a heavy iron rod. And he says, if you come here, I'll hit you. And I'll smash you to smithereens. Nothing will be left of you. So kufr, everyone fears. So that is like that iron rod. That a person fears, I mustn't become a kafir. Oh, that is the worst thing that can happen. In other words, keep away from losing hope in Allah. Don't come in that area where you will lose hope in all ways. No matter what guna a person commits also, he must never lose hope in Allah Ta'ala. And our Shaykh Jazahumullah Khair explained, a person who loses hope in the mercy of Allah, thinking, my gunas, what a life I live, how terrible I am. This thought of his, which is outwardly tawazu, that I'm such a big sinner, I'm so terrible, what's going to happen to me? I've committed the worst of sins. This is actually pride in him, that he's thinking that my sins are more greater than the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. And nothing can be greater than the mercy of Allah. The whole world's sins together are nothing. And that our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali gives such a beautiful example. You went for a picnic on the beach, and you were eating there, you threw all your papers around, which you shouldn't be doing, but you messed up the whole beach. The children were riding their bicycles there, all the things, and they made marks, and the beach is in a mess. One wave will come, and it will look like never ever there was a person there. So the whole world's gunas are like that, and one wave of Allah's mercy will wash away the whole world. So we must never lose hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. So, Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali explained that al-imanu bayna al-khawfi wal-raja. When you see that your hope in Allah is growing now, it's like a meter, and the needle must be exactly in the middle. When it's going too much on the right side now, and you are having too much fear of Allah, you are becoming despondent, and you are becoming frustrated, and you are going into a depression, then look at all the mercy of Allah and bring your needle back again to the middle. And if you are having too much hope in the mercy of Allah and you are becoming reckless in committing gunas, you are not performing namaz also, and you are saying Allah is most merciful, Arhamur Rahimin, then look at the warnings then. And in this way, from the one side, bring it back again. Don't let it go right extreme in the green, and don't let it go extreme in the red also. Exactly in the middle, that is how it should be. Other ulama have explained that when people are young, they've got strength and vitality, they can commit gunas. You are rich, you have got money, then your eyes must be more on the warnings that have come in the Quran and Hadith. So that will control you. When old age comes, and now you can't do any amal, and that Maulana Qamaruz Zaman Sahib, they've given another very beautiful prescription also. He says, in old age, now you can't do a lot of amal, you are weak. To get up takes you so long, to get off the bed takes you so long in the toilet. Now bring intention into amal. Make in niyat. You can just be lying on the bed and you can make so many according to your niyat, you will get sawab. And the proof that you are sincere in your niyat, try and do at least a little. You made niyat for 100%, but you can do 10%. A person says, a rich man is giving 50,000 rand, he is giving 500,000 rand in the path of Allah. I'm only earning 5,000. Where can I give 50,000? But if I had so much, I should also give. If you are earning 5,000, you can give 5 rand. So give your 5 rand. That means you are sincere. Not you say that if I was such a rich man, I should also give 500,000. I should also give 50,000. You can give 5 rand, but you're not giving. That means you are not sincere in your need. How much you can do. And in there also one very important thing, which applies to all of us, that shaitan will always try and stop you from giving charity. If you want to give a big amount, shaitan will say you want to show everyone that you can give so much. And in that way he'll discourage you. You haven't got sincerity. And if you give a small amount, shaitan will tell you the receipt is more expensive than what you donated. You are causing a harm to the institution, to your liability. Your receipt costs you 2 rand, you giving 1 rand. You cause, and to write it out and the person the time, that's even more. So don't, even if you give a piece of a khajur, not even half, a piece also, it's enough to save you from jahannam. So don't let shaitan, and shaitan's other working also, when you want to commit, shaitan will tell you to commit guna. And he will tell you, the hadith that Allah forgives, you just make tawbah. Allah is arhamur rahimin. Why are you? And when you commit the guna, then shaitan puts all the warnings in front. That you committed this guna, no chance for you. Then he doesn't let you make tawbah. He closes the doors of tawbah. You such a sinner, such a bad person. What sins you have committed, there is no chance for you. So don't fall prey to shaitan. When he wants to make you commit guna, he'll put all the hadith and the ayats that illa man tab wa amana wa amila salihan. All that he'll put that you just make tawbah. Allah forgives all guna. Allah, you just make the guna now. What's it? After you make tawbah, finish. Allah will forgive. Allah is oft forgiving. Allah forgives. Allahu Akbar. Allah's forgiveness. If a person, your son, he was disobedient to you. He spent all your money, which was on his credit card, which you put in his account. He destroyed his health, he destroyed his family, and he comes back to you now when he's down and out, nothing he's got. And then many a person will say, now you come to me. But Allah, a person who has reached old age, and he has committed all the good, now his family has left him. All his money is finished, and he makes tawbah to Allah. Allah will never say, now you come to me when you're so old. If we go and buy meat, nowadays it's not that system, but from the butcher in the old days, and he gives you the meat of an old cow, old age, and that meat doesn't want to cook also, you return it. You say, what must I do with this meat? Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, when a person's wife passes away and is an old man, very hard for him to find a wife, because he wants a young girl, and the young girl doesn't want an old man. And when if he asks for a young girl, he says, no, too old man, I can't marry such a old man. And if it is a younger, the old woman, he doesn't want to. What must I do with an old hag? He doesn't think he's also old. But what must I do with an old lady? I want somebody to make my khidmat, I'll have to make her khidmat. So anyway, people don't like old things. Big old things which are old in age. So our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali say that why you reserving your old age to give to Allah? When you are young, when you got strength, when you have got money, when you have got talent, you have got ability, then you want to use it for your nafs. And now when you become completely useless, you can't do anything. Now this is now for Allah. Now my old age, only ibadah. But even that Allah appreciates. Allah won't turn it away. Allah will even say, now also you came to me, you are most welcome by me. Allah, so we should always turn to Allah Ta'ala and ask for His help. So we must never lose hope. And look at the hadith, that is why the main thing is sohbat of those people who have got deen in them. That is a buzurg. A buzurg is not one who boos and ruaks. That is no buzurg. A buzurg is one, not that has got the knowledge, he's an alim. A buzurg is a person who has got deen in him. That is why we are here. That is what is Islam. Which Qari Amir Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, at this place sitting here, said, what is Islam? That we are not reading Yasin Sharif, read Yasin every day. We're not reading one durood, read one durood, read three, read five, 10 duroods a day. We're not reading Quran Sharif at all. Read one page, one ruku. So bringing deen in our lives. And deen will come into a person not from kitabs. Na kitabo se, na waazo se, na zar se paida. Deen hota hai, buzurgo ki nazar se paida. That deen doesn't come from kitabs, doesn't come from lectures. Doesn't come by money, and you bribe somebody, you buy him out or something. And doesn't come by forcing somebody also. It comes in the company of those who have got deen in them. If you stay in their company, and the longer you stay, Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says, at one stage in his life, later in his life, he said, previously I used to stay, that people who are practicing on deen, to read kitabs, it is sufficient. That they read and they keep themselves informed and they practice. But he says, now I've realized that sohbat, company, and to be in the company of buzurgani deen, those who got deen in them, he says, this is the most beneficial and the absolute necessity to get deen into us. So in order to get understanding of deen, to practice on deen, it won't come from kitabs. That is a different thing. And where you will get deen is if you stay, and how much you stay with people who have got deen will come into you according to that. Maulana Muhammad Chaudhry, Allah give him jazaa khair, he wrote, he's coming from America, and he wrote his dates. I say, Maulana, alhamdulillah, marhaba. But I would be very eager if you give us more time. MashaAllah, he extended his time, he made his arrangement and spending so time with our, and we saw in the khanqah of Hazrat Shaykh Maulana Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, what great buzurg, Mufti Mahmood Sahib Gangoi, Mufti Maulana Abdul Halim John Puri, and other great, great buzurgs, every year they come in the khanqah. Not like us, we came 1 year, we got Khilafat finished. We came for Khilafat, we got our Khilafat, end of the story. We don't have to go again anymore. But every year they used to come. So the more Sohbat, and there are many friends of ours also who come continuously. They got the Khilafat, but still they come every year. The more time we spend, the more a person will benefit. And then one very important thing also, what are the causes of this wasawis that come? That is also important. What causes this wasawis? There are various, whether it is in the matters of deen that we are having, doubts in the matters of deen, or whether it is the fantasizing about women, etc. It has been seen not long ago now. Maulana Ibrahim Mia Sahib, the Ahmed Barakatum of Mia's farm, they're running madaris in Malawi, etc. They find small, small children who read so perfect, and they memorize the Quran in such a short time. We had students here from Palestine, 3-4 months. They completed heaps of the Quran. The more your mind is clean, the more you can absorb. But when your mind is polluted with all things, and that is, we don't realize, we are fast asleep. The enemy are working 24 hours. How to pollute the minds and the lives of our women, of our children, of our boys who become hafiz, of our girls who become alimas. We say today's alimas, what they doing? Today's hafiz young boys, how they dress, etc. It's not their own. It is their minds are being worked upon. And from where is it being worked upon? The TV. And that we make it faraz in the house. That you must watch TV. We don't realize there's adverts. It's an advert of something straightforward, but behind it also there is something. Whether it's a subject of maths or whether it's a subject of science, that those are facts regarded as, but there is poison added in there also. Judge Akbar Allahabad, he was the judge of the High Court of Allahabad when the British were ruling India. He was the judge, Judge Nazir Akbar Allahabadi. If this some Maulvi had said, even if he was a liberal Maulvi, we'll say that's all what the Maulvis can say. What else they going to say? Or if it was a conservative Maulvi, Maulvis only know this, but this is a judge who said this. What did he say? That Fir'aun should not have killed all the male offspring of the Bani Israel. Because he wanted to safeguard his government and his rulership, so he was killing all the, but Allah's system, how it works also. And what a lesson of Iman. The child that he was supposed to kill, Allah made the child, the mother puts the child into the sea, into the stormy seas. And the stormy seas brings it right to where they're having a picnic, Fir'aun and his wife Asiya. And the little child pitches up there, comes up there with the waves. And Allah puts in the heart of Asiya, what a beautiful child. And this is also all in Allah's hands. If we obey Allah, Allah will put, no matter how your wife looks, Allah will put in your heart, she looks the most beautiful. And she is the best wife. There couldn't be a better woman for me in my life. So it depends how much we obey Allah Ta'ala, Allah will. So anyway, she then looks after the child. And she takes the child. And in fact, when she says, I want to keep this child, Fir'aun, the Allah put the thought in his mind that this may be the child that you had to kill. And Fir'aun, that Musa alayhi salam went for the beard and pulled the beard of Fir'aun. Even Fir'aun kept a beard. Beards are common with everyone. Fir'aun also, and he didn't keep a small beard that the child couldn't catch. A small letter, he kept a proper full beard also. Beard was full with all the people before. This today we have become like Mukhannas, and now we don't even, we want to imitate the women so much they are in our minds that we want to live like women without beards, etc. Anyway, so Fir'aun got convinced, this is the child I have to kill. But Allah showed, not only did he grant him protection, he paid the fees for him to be milk paid also. And Allah returned him to his mother again. Look at Allah. Allah is there. The same Allah is today also. We have to be obedient to Allah Ta'ala. Anyway, Judge Nazir Akbar Ilahabadi, he said, Fir'aun had to kill all these children. Instead of that, had he just opened schools and colleges, he should have got the praises of the world. You gave education to the people. And his own same object, his government shouldn't go. That is the object of school education. To keep the governments in their place. And to keep Western society dominant on the whole people. And today I think I'm doing my BCom, I'm doing my BA, I'm doing this, I'm specializing in this. We are all pawns in that game of this. That we are 100%. And with all these degrees, just very briefly, this is not our subject for now. That what does a person get? At the beginning of the madrasa, when we started, we had to do some collections. We went to one country town, and we went to a doctor. House also, what a splendid house. Surgery also, the latest equipment, and the motor car, and everything. And it comes in the heart of a person, and he was a pious, religious-minded person, we'll get a good donation here. When we spoke to him, he told us that my house is bonded, I have to pay my bond. All my surgery, all this equipment is bought with the bank's money. I'm busy paying the bank. My car, I'm paying the bank. Everything. So I thought came to my heart that what we have collected, he needs it more. We should give it to him. What are we going to get from him? Immediately next door was a shop. And the furniture and fittings also not properly, not lighted up properly also. And I thought, yeah, well, we'll make salam. But what an amount he gave us. In business, Allah has kept barakah. In profession, I went to Malaysia many years ago. We met one person, he said one big mistake, this may be about 25, 30 years ago. One big Malaysia mistake we Malaysians made, and still they are making, and the world is making it, that we went for professions. So the business sector became empty. The Chinese came in. And the businessman rules the country. The politicians are also pawns in the hands of the business people. If you go into little study of anything, this plastic bags, anything, the laws which are made by the business people through the politicians. What they want, when they want to make profit in this, they want to bring this in the market, they make them pass a law according to that. And so it is the businessman, and in the hadith it has come, the most barakat is in business and farming. Those are the things that we should have, and our people, our old people, this is what they concentrated on. And Allah gave them what barakat. Today, the West, if you do a little study, you will see how they are worried that how the Indian man, why is he going so ahead in any part of the world? Not only Muslims, even the Hindu. The Indian person, it is mainly because of business, not something else. So if we, our children, make them alim hafiz, if not, put them into business. I told this is not my subject, if Allah wishes and we come on to that, we will speak. So anyway, the causes of this wasawis that we come, today it is the school education, they create the doubts in our mind. One school teacher told the students that what you see, seeing is believing. Hearing is deceiving. So, he says, we don't see God. So God, it doesn't exist. His hearing is deceiving. What you see, you believe. So, alhamdulillah, one small child, 6-year-old, got up. And he said, sir, I can't see your brains. So you are brainless. So then he understood, فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ. Then he realized that you can't see the brain, so you must deny. And he had no brains, that teacher. That is why he told that Allah, otherwise Allah, if you can't see Allah, you haven't got brains, you haven't got eyes, you haven't got a heart, you got nothing if you can't see Allah. Allah is everywhere. So they spoil the brains of the people. And how many of our young boys, girls, the interest transactions, you get the top CA, everything, but you are writing interest transactions. You are involved, you are part and parcel of all that. How many other haram things, while your studies you have to fall in. One doctor wanted to enroll his child, his youngster, in a university, a boy. And when he told me, when I went there, I said, I must put my child into Jahannam. And today, what they have taught us, you must pay big fees to send your child to Jahannam. If you want to make your child an alim hafiz, hardly any fees. If they are, minimal, hardly, compared to that, there is hardly anything. And here you're sending them straight to Jannah. And on there, you have to pay so big fees to send them to Jannah. And today, how many people, you haven't got money, you took out a bond on your house, which was also wrong. You haven't got the money to pay that, but that university fees, that no matter what happens, that has to be paid. So anyway, and this what the result of this is also. How many cases that, for example, yeah, in South Africa in the days of apartheid, many years ago, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, the father wanted to make his son a doctor. And the facilities for universities were not open to non-whites yet. So he sent him to England, and how hard he worked. Because the fees there, standard of living, cost of living, very high there in UK. So, but anyway, he became a doctor. When he came, the father was happy. He gave a big party. He invited so many people to the party. And then in the party, the father was shabbily dressed because he had no money. All his money was going for his son. Somebody asked him, who is this old man? Yeah, where everyone is so well dressed, top people of the society there. He said, this is the worker of the house. At that time, the father felt that a dagger was going through his heart. That for who I sacrificed everything, and today I'm the worker of the house. I'm the servant in the house. So this is what this brings with it. Where they teach you respect of parents. Where they teach you who a woman is, who a wife is, who a mother is. Those things are not taught. They, in fact, it put in your mind, they will all slogans that woman abuse and child abuse and all this sex abuse, all the big, big things. But they are promoting it all the time. They are promoting it all the time. So that is what. So all this year, that education. And if it's not the education, it's the TV. And the TV in how many houses must be on 24 hours. Whether anyone is watching or not, it has to be on. And then if it's not that, then many of us, that we regard ourselves as pious, the novels that we read. Buzurgan-e-Deen have expressed so much that be very careful that with who you associate, and when you're reading the works of anyone, Allahu Akbar. When Allama Khalid Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was here one time, one ustad of our senior ustad, he asked the permission of Allama Khalid Mahmood to study the works of Maududi in order to refute him. Allama Khalid Mahmood, that senior ustad, told him, you don't even touch Maududi's work. You will get influenced by it. And today with the Western education, homework, study, extramural things, we don't realize 24 hours they're working on our brain at our expense. To make, they kidnap the brain. They leave the body to you. The mother, father must feed the child, must clothe the child. But the brain becomes theirs. The brain doesn't belong anymore to the parents also, and it doesn't belong to religion also. The brain, they take, and they have that brain, they control that brain. Remote control, they controlling the brain of our... In front of us, they are very nice and sweet. They wear long kurtas and abayas, and they make namaz also. But when you see them somewhere else, you can't even recognize it's a Muslim. Once we were leaving the airport, and somebody else was also leaving, and we close to those people. And that the boy was there, I couldn't recognize him. He had to explain to me. I couldn't reconcile. This is the same boy. But otherwise, when we go to the house, etc., then you see him properly. He's like a proper, super Muslim. But when the minute it's not there, then you see the true colors coming on. So this is the consequences of all. So this novel, and some of us, where shaitan puts evil in our mind, you must know what is happening. A young girl wrote now that my WhatsApp, whatever that means, she said, I gave it up. But now I feel like a stupid when I'm with the other women and girls. That everyone is talking what's happening and I don't know what is happening. So she asked, must we know what's the news presently? Everyone doesn't have to know the news. And if you're not there, you can't contribute, you're not even making dua. You're falling in riba. Because what is news? This person kidnapped that person killed that person, this person. You're hearing the evil of other people. If you are in a position like a mufti, he has to be informed what's happening. If you are in a person who does public speaking, you have to know what is happening. If otherwise, and these people, the same people, when you ask them, how much Quran Sharif tilawat? almost zero. We haven't got time. We're busy with all those things, reading all this and knowing what is happening. And today there's groups that have come on the phone, everyone, ulama group, family group, friends group, and all the time there is no rest. You're busy talking with somebody and he's got his phone. Where he's listening to you, he's watching his phone. Your message has come, this message has, and what unnecessary thing. We don't realize this is polluting the mind, corrupting the mind. Like I said, there's Malawi and many other countries where the minds are pure, they become Hafiz in 3 months. Then we can understand those people who became Hafiz al-Hadith and who became such Jayyid Hafiz, and how today when we hear about they read Quran Sharif in one rakat, it doesn't make sense to us. And if they had to hear that these people spend the whole night in a disco, it would never have made sense. Impossible. How can a person spend the whole night in the disco? Young person. Like we can't understand their achievements, they can't understand our destruction. That this could possibly happen. So this is corrupting all these novels and that, and all this phone, and unnecessary messages going all the time from this side to that side. If you keep your mind free, then you can even tafakkur in Allah. We haven't got time for zikr. Where are we going to make tafakkur? And these things control your mind. The books, Harry Potter, you must know what is Harry Potter. You must know what is this, Shakespeare, James Hadley Chase, all these things here. You have to know all these things, but you don't know about your Quran Sharif. You don't know about your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that was one thing. That phase also, I'm speaking of bygone zamana. Now everything Google. Anything just came in your mind, Google it. And now all, how lot time is spent. Google has become a god now. Anything and everything you must Google. And what comes on Google is wahi. 100%, that is now, there is no doubt in it. Yeah, Quran can have doubt in it. Hadith can have doubt, na'uzubillah. But Google, no doubt whatsoever. And everyone, and sad to say, people haven't got time for their namazes in Ramzan now, presently as we're speaking. People haven't got time for tilawat, not one suparah, but Google asks them, oh, they are masters of it. And what's happening in the world, what's happening in Gaza, what's happening in Syria, what's happening all this year, that fikr. Today, alhamdulillah, we all have to have the whole Muslim, the ummah is kajasadin wahidin, like one body. And it hurts us what is happening. We must make dua, etc. But now people, all the pictures, the woman also writing, we're getting despondent when we see this type of pictures. Now they've got no mood to do anything. What's the necessity of looking at all that also? And the object of the enemy also is to demoralize us. There is one concept of the Quran, Ithkhan. Alif, Ta, Kha, Alif, Nun, Ithkhan, many places. What it means to demoralize the non-Muslims. They have taken this concept and they demoralize us. All of us are despondent. What's happening in Gaza? What's happening in Iraq? What's happening here? And whereas a Muslim must be positive. He mustn't be negative. He mustn't be despondent. Allah is there for us. Allah's help. But this all that whole, we are in that framework of this all the time. So everyone is so despondent. And please make dua for the people of Gaza. We have to make dua. But like it's the end of the world. Finish now. Where there is no hope and nothing left. This is all this evil that is coming through these novels and through this, they controlling your mind. All this book, for what is in the Western authors, did they write to promote Islamic values? They wrote to promote their values and to create doubt in our Islamic values. And we go and read this and doubt is created into us. Now all these thoughts come. Now women's thoughts come. Now Allah, na'uzubillah, doesn't exist because you don't see Allah. All this comes because now all that is in your mind, your namaz is in there. If your namaz is in hadith, your mind is in hadith, your mind is in Quran Sharif, and you think in namaz about your hadith and Quran, it's a namaz of concentration. But now you're thinking of your science, you think of your maths, you're thinking of all the child psychology and all what today our good people, there's a problem in the house, somebody needs some counseling. No, the small bees, their counseling is no good. You have to go to a counselor. And preferably to a woman counselor. Man must go to a woman counselor. This is their system. You go to the hospital, if you're a male, females will attend to you. If you're a female, males will attend to you. So this is all, we must see through this. So this is causing all this. One time in Lusaka, I gave a talk with regard to about Spain, that Muslims had reached the highest epoch of their height in everything, not only in Islamic sciences, in dunya sciences also in Spain. And the worst suffering that came to Muslims was also in Spain. And so after that, one professor of the university came to me and he asked me, did you hear this nursery rhyme, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall? I said, I heard. He said, you know the meaning? I said, according to the words. He said, actually what they are teaching our children, that Humpty Dumpty, Islam and Muslims sat on a high wall. They reached the highest pinnacle of the success in Spain. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall and he fell from there. All the king's horses and men could not put Humpty Dumpty together again, that Islam will never rise again. We brought them down in such a way that we send them to South America, we send them where and where in the world, and Muslims will never rise again. So we are singing the praises of our downfall. Where a person who eats poison and is happy that I ate poison, how can that person gain health? A person who is moving in his Ferrari to Jahannam and is screaming and shouting and dancing that I've become successful and is going to Jahannam. This is our condition. This is all with that influence. Then we come to Mali Sahab. We say, Khanka, I'll spend 1 weekend, I'll spend 10 days, and you must put my thoughts right. A whole life you have spent in that evil, and to take it out needs an effort. Those of us, many of us unfortunately, we have gone into that. All our matric. What is a matric certificate? In about 1994, when the transition of South Africa was taking place, round about that time, there was a seminar on education, school, secular education, a whole national, whole countries, a seminar at government level from their side. In that came one question, why must we teach Shakespeare to the students? Shakespeare is old English, thou, thee and all that. Today nobody speaks that language. And if you want to become a doctor, no books are written in old Victorian English. If you want to become an engineer, no books or textbooks are written in old Victorian English, all in modern English. Why must we still teach Shakespeare? They made no bones about it. Clearly they said, the object of giving a student a matric certificate is that now we are satisfied that he has got a modern Western Christian mind. And the only way we can develop that is through Shakespeare. There no other work of ours. And Shakespeare, well, you're studying literature, you're studying prose, you're studying poetry, all the different things you are studying, but you don't realize those people, how they're getting into our brains. So when they give you a matric certificate, in other words, they are satisfied we have produced a modern Western Christian mind. And to scrub that out needs great, great effort. And the only thing is Sohbat of Awliya. That is the thing that if you reasonably you go in their company, this will come out. Otherwise these doubts that they have created and which have come into you, it will remain. So, and the whole thing, Western influence. Today if you don't know English, you're not an educated person. Which is a myth. You can know any language. It's not only English you have to know. It's not English that came from Jannat and you have to know English. If you are proficient in your language, you speak Gujarati, you speak Bengali, you speak Farsi, whatever your language is, and you can be, you're a literate person, you know the language. It doesn't mean you have to know English, but they have imposed English in such a way that that everyone feels, if I don't know English, I'm a lost case. I have to know English, then I'm an educated person. And how many people that they can't speak proper English, but they will try and become stylish. And how they'll try and they use it wrong also. Our girls also, Allah make raham, when they get jobs at secretary, and they have to add the phone board, switchboard, and they speak, and how they speak. All that it has been forbidden in the hadith to speak in stylish ways like this, and how they speak in the stylish ways, etc. And we regard that as some achievement of ours. So we should be very, very careful about these things. Other things that influence us also is, of course, the looking at women. That also, then your mind is corrupt. Now you want to see our system. Allah didn't make our brain especially such that you're outside, you're looking at women, talking, flirting with them. Even innocently, you don't mean, but just joking, talking with them. And when you come to masjid, you put another switch on. Now Allah is in front of you. Now finish everything. All that is gone. It doesn't work like that. In order to make your namaz, you have to have a pure mind also. For that zikr is required. For that Allah's marifat is required. Then you will be able to make your, you come into masjid and now the presence of Allah will come. And when you finish with your namaz, take your topi, put it in your pocket. Your trousers, you fold them up, put them down again. And now you've gone again into the world again. And all the guna of the world again. Now next namaz I'll come back again. I'll meet you Allah Pak after 5 hours again. I'll come back for Maghrib, I'll come back for Asr. In the meantime, I'm going to do my dunya thing. When I come back again, I'll put the switch on again. Then I'm with you all the time. It doesn't work like that. And we, this is not a departmental store of Islam. One department is this, one department is that. No, we have to be 24. Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. Enter completely. And this, what the West has made us also one thing. Religion is your private affair. If you don't bring it into the, on the sports field, don't bring it in the business place, don't bring it in parliament. There, the parliament will carry on as the rules of the parliament. Don't bring your Islam in here. Don't bring your religion. On the sports field, don't bring your religion here. Leave it. Yes, when you make your religion, Ramzan you go. You go Hajj Umrah. You come to the masjid, there you are Muslim. So our dressing, many of us, our girls, how they dress, on top just the abaya, and inside the top and pants they have got. Our boys, how they dress, but outside then we are just, so the same with our dressing, with our brains. And also we are influenced, our thinking is also influenced by the clothes that we wear. Haji Fakhruddin Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, who lived for so long, mashallah, near 100. He was in Durban, or he passed his 100. Was very close with Jamaat work with Haji Bey Padia. He told me once, my grandson, small child, his mother, bought for him a police outfit. Like for children, they buy this year. So when he put it on, immediately he acted like a police. And he wants to now catch the people, put them in jail. The clothes have an effect. And today what clothes we wear? And then we want to have proper attention in namaz. Proper dhyan in namaz. We don't want wasawis. Language has an effect on a person. The language we speak. So our clothes, our language, the friends. Yes, this was one important thing also. The hadith that said, Al-mar'u ala deeni khalilihi. We hear this quite often. A man is on the deen, on the way of life of his friend. And friend, here the explanation is given in the front. Al-mar'u ala deeni khalilihi falyanzur ahadukum man yukhalil. Who you mix with. That is what your friend is. Who your company is. So people judge you according to your company. A company is very important also. Today we feel that company doesn't matter. Company is very, very important. Whose company? And then you are labeled with that. There are many people, they say we are not Salafis. But all their friends are Salafis. They're mixing with Salafis all the time. So you won't be labeled with that. The hadith says that you are according to the deen, the way of life. If you are all the time with the Shias, you say, but I'm not a Shia, I'm not a Qadiani, but you are mixing with them all the time. So that is very, very important, the company that a person keeps. It has a profound influence. And yeah, we will say, we don't take it serious, we don't take it to heart, we don't even want to accept it. But when you read in a book, textbook of education, the peer pressure, it's true. Peer pressure works. You must be very careful with the peer pressure that the big shot in the class or the friend, how much influence he has. Now then suddenly. But when you say that sohbat, no, sohbat, this is now nothing. If their peer pressure, then it works there. Hey, so they used our things, but all against us. Hey, it is just like that person who always wore a shawl. One day he slept away. His friend took his shawl away. And his friend wore it. When he woke up, he saw, he said, "Main to tu ho gaya. I became you. Where am I from?" That you now, you wearing the shawl, that was his identification, the shawl. All our things, they have taken it. And now where are we gone? They are using it against us. So to get our thoughts clear, is no magic word, habra kadabra, it just things come right. We have to see our company, we have to see what education, we have to see what who we mix, we have to see the clothes that we wear. Then we can expect a namaz like that. And just like that, that I haven't got ta'alluq with Allah. I'm not feeling Allah's presence. I don't feeling. It's not that now you just left all your things and you did all the wrong things and now suddenly you became a Sufi. Now became a big wali of Allah. Now you got Allah with you. Allah is in your heart. Allah is not so cheap that you filled your heart with all the dirt and filth. Your clothing is filthy and dirty. Your thoughts are filthy and dirty. And now Allah must just land up with you. It's not like that. And Allah is not so expensive that you try, you make a reasonable effort, and you won't get Allah also. So this is also a very important aspect to clear our. And a person whose thoughts are clear, he's in Jannah already here. His life is clear. Everything of his is filled with nur, with barakat, with rahmat. The person whose thoughts were all these confused thoughts, all these wrong thoughts, that person is living a life of Jahannam within himself. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali say, what you worried of the hadith that says the azab of Jahannam? You yourself have become Jahannam. When all this evil, may Allah make us understand the reality of this. And we want today Islam in a Western concept. How they have taught us Islam must fit in there. You bought your shoes for your wedding day, smart, sharp, pointed shoes. And high heel shoes and shining shoes, but they're not fitting you. So what you thought, I'm a wise crack, I will cut my toes off so that they fit. Well, any person, and the stupid crack will also do that. But today we are chopping and cutting Islam to fit into Western society. We must make Western society to fit into Islam if it can and if it wants to. If not, let it go where it wants to go. But Islam, we can't chop and trim and do this and that. Islam must remain as it is. But many of us, unfortunately, we never had the company or we never went to madrasa. Ulama, buzurgani deen. We were in schools. We were on the TV. We were in the internet, googling novels. Now we got that concept and we want Islam also. Sincerely, but we want to fit Islam into that. It doesn't work like that. We'll have to scrub out all that. We'll have to remove all that and bring pure Islam. And then see, inshallah. Sunnahs, we can sing the song till the cows go home. Sunnahs, the reality of it will come when our mind is also not polluted like this. Then you'll enjoy sunnah. Then you'll enjoy tilawat of Quran Sharif and zikr. Otherwise, you'll enjoy Harry Potter. Whole night you can read. You'll watch a film, dirty blue film, and you'll put another film in it. And another one also. Fajr you'll miss, no problem. But you'll watch 2-3 films at night when we are conditioned in that way. May Allah guide us and have mercy on us. Du'as are required. Effort is required. That is why Allah gave us this month. May Allah let us benefit fully, inshallah.